20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
No matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Show me the money.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
They're often imitated, sometimes plagiarized, but never duplicated.
I'm going to make them an offer, gentlemen.
The Sultans of Short Sales, the Crusaders of Capitalism, looking out for you and determined to show you how to profit in today's real estate market. Hosts of Real Estate Radio USA, the B&B Crew, Barry Johnson and Barry Cunningham.
All right, Barry, here we are, Monday edition. Yeah, you're right. We're getting started a little late, so sue us. It's our show. We can do what the hell we want to do.
After all, we're not professionals anyway.
Yeah,
so
really.
What difference does it make?
Welcome, everyone, to a Monday edition of Real Estate Radio USA. We got a condensed version today. We're going to do about a half hour. Then at 5 o'clock, we've got Jennifer Allen joining us from sellwithsoul.com. One of our contributing authors on Real Estate Radio USA. So we look forward to having her on the program, Barry.
Yeah, that should be pretty good. She writes such good stories, man.
She's got a lot of reads, man.
Compelling
content.
Yes.
Compelling content. She's not, like most of the things we talk about on the program, she's not the you know, technology guru. She doesn't have, like, a new system or anything.
She's not a vendor?
She talks about sales techniques, she really works with sphere of influence, which is a nice change of pace from a lot of the other things that we talk about in the program. So we're lucky to have her as a guest author and lucky to have her on the program today.
Yeah, we see things from a different perspective.
I love different perspectives.
Yeah,
you know why?
Why?
It helps expand your horizons. You're not stuck in that same old thing. You should always know. If you're not even going to practice it, that's fine. Knowing it's available, knowing it's out there, knowing your competition could utilize it, knowing how to counter that is all a part of business.
Yes, it is.
So, well, okay. Why are you starting like that?
I said was yes, it is. I completely agreed with you.
Okay.
I completely deferred.
Yeah, we read, of course, what's going on in the real estate blogosphere. We try to keep up on what's going on. Of course, we have our own real estate business that we run here as well. But as a, you know, a informative type thing and being on the radio every day, we need to know what's going on, and we read the blogs and came across a couple of interesting articles, posts, and discussions that bear talking about today.
I'm wondering if people are just out and out bored.
Well, this is the talk that we have had more than a few times. I mean, I've been to some real estate blogs and haven't read anything having to do with real estate post in the last 2 months.
Barry, what I've been doing is before I read a blog post, I now say, okay, am I going to get any information out of this that's going to help me to be more successful in buying and or selling homes?
Right.
Then after I get done or midway through it, if I haven't already thrown up, I will say to myself, am I learning anything? Am I getting anything from this that is going to help me buy or sell homes?
Yes.
Then after I'm done with it, I sit back and go very excitedly, wow, I learned something from this. Or I quickly go, that was a waste of time.
And more often than not, that's what you get, a colossal waste of time.
I don't understand why some people are blogging if they're not looking to conduct business. I understand people have got off to the point where now they feel like they can sit aloft.
They've got an audience.
And, hey, let me tell you what I think about this.
Sure.
And Seth Godin talks about things and he tells you what he feels, but there's usually a point to what he says. And there's usually a tidbit that you can take away and say, wow, that really means something. How can I apply this to my business? And he can say it pretty quickly, usually.
Yes.
Yeah. But now, on the other hand, we have a lot of realtors with a lot of time on their hands.
A lot of time.
And it gets to the point where sometimes there's meaningful discussion and it's issues regarding the business. Yesterday or a couple days ago, a blogger on Agent Genius, one of the properties or websites I frequent, Teresa Borden from the St. Paul Real Estate Blog, had a great post about what realtors want.
Right.
Very, very, very well-written post about, you know, here are some of the problems I find. And some of the people who responded, Barry, were pretty much a veritable who's who out there in the blogosphere.
Okay.
And they were explaining to Teresa, or responding right there to her post, by saying, hey, listen, here's what I'm enduring. Here are the problems I find that I run into. One of the problems that came up, and to me and Barry, it was quite surprising. And one of the problems that was vocalized was, hey, we're tired of waiting 2 weeks plus to get paid after a closing. And I looked at Barry and I said, hey, come on over and read this. And he came over to my desk at home and he read it over my shoulder. I go, what are they talking about?
Yeah. I was freaking. I was like, does that say 2 weeks?
Show me the money.
I'm like, what is that? And more people were talking about it. I'm like, are we missing something? I would kill somebody if I had to wait 2 weeks to get paid.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be a commonplace occurrence as these people were talking about it. So I asked and I said, hey guys, you know, I know I'm usually the adversarial one, but in this regard, I'm kind of inquisitive. What do you mean you have to wait 2 weeks after closing?
I have no idea what
you're
talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't occur down here.
Yeah,
it would never occur.
There's a check cut.
Or a wire transfer.
Yeah.
In any event, I'm getting paid.
Right.
And Jay Thompson replied, said, no, some brokers will sit on the money. They'll get around to it. They'll cut every 2 weeks. And Teresa echoed that and said, hey, listen, there's some brokers who just aren't, you know, immediate about it. I'll get around to it because a check obviously gets cut to the broker.
Right, at closing.
Yeah, so the title company is doing their work. They are dispersing at closing.
Sure.
Unfortunately, somehow between the check getting into the broker's office and then dispersed to the agent, there are some offices
out
there.
There's a breakdown there.
Yeah, there's a huge breakdown.
There's a breakdown there.
There'd be a breakdown with me breaking in someone, putting my foot in someone's butt if they didn't give me my check in 2 weeks. And so I vocalized it and said, well, hey, guys, has anyone ever thought about making sure in advance of closing that the title company has a disbursement order signed by the broker to make sure they can wire your money directly to your account so you don't have to wait 2 weeks? Oh, I shouldn't have asked that, huh? And I get this guy respond to me. I mean, Jay and Teresa were nice, and hey, yeah, this is what we endure. I get this guy that responds and says, hey, you don't know what you're talking about because, quote, you're not a real estate professional. And there it began, folks. There it began.
What? You're not a real estate professional.
No, I'm not a real estate.
Because you don't have the R pen? Is that what it is?
No, it was like having the N word of real estate.
Oh!
You're just an investor.
Oh, okay.
So you're not.
You're just an investor.
Yeah, you're just an investor. You can't eat at the same table we
eat
at.
Isn't the distinction between amateur and professional is professionals make money in the trade? We're a lot more professional. A lot of agents I know out there.
Professionals dictate their own destiny? Don't wait around for a broker to get around to it?
Because if the leap of faith in that, or the distinction between a professional is actually getting a paycheck, I know a lot of real estate agents ain't got a paycheck in a long time.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, what you're telling me is, and then he went on to state his definition of what a real estate professional is, which was funny. Barry, what did he say a real estate professional is?
And I quote, a real estate professional is a party who acts as an intermediary between sellers, landlords, and buyers, tenants of real property.
Pulled out of the back end behind buttocks of Bill Lublin. I mean, there's no earthly idea where he pulled that out of. And of course, so what happens, he doesn't like what I say in response, so he decides to write an entire post about it, spending more time on this, writing more about who is and who isn't a professional and when they should and shouldn't get paid.
Right.
Okay, so now he writes a post, and hey, let's define professional. And he asked the blogosphere to take their time to define something that means absolutely nothing. You know why it means nothing, Barry? Clients determine professionality.
Well, here's what I like, Barry.
What?
And you can tell the guy's got something against real estate investors.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because of us or more, you know, to the point, you. But because he goes on to say, for example, I think that a full-time appraiser is a professional appraiser, not a real estate professional. I think that a loan officer is a mortgage industry professional, not a real estate professional. I think a full-time real estate investor is an investor.
That's the N-word. He threw the N-word at me again.
No, he didn't even say professional investor. He went and said professional industry or mortgage professional. Professional appraiser. An investor is just an investor.
Calling a spade, I think he thinks he's saying.
Well,
come on, Barry.
Well, it gets to the point sometimes, Barry, that I feel like some people out there think that if you don't pay dues to the NAR and you're not a real estate agent, that you have no idea what a real estate agent does.
You couldn't possibly understand what
so
we go through.
So here's what I'm going to do.
Please.
I'm going to take a week out of my busy schedule and become a real estate professional. A realtor, so I can speak on this level, because if I, you know, take that week and get my license...
You are then a professional.
I'm then a professional, by his very definition.
On the other hand, I'll be on the back kitchen door looking in, wishing I could be like Barry.
Yeah, Toby, you can come in and serve dinner.
Wow, man. Can I play with you guys?
No.
I gotta go through the back door.
We'll take the corn and the chicken on the table. When you get done bringing it around,
then I gotta clean up.
And don't forget to clean up.
Do I get the white women?
Absolutely not. Not only can you not have the white women, I'm taking the black ones too.
Oh, it's ludicrous. I mean, this guy is nuts.
Yeah,
Bill, I understand you've done well and you've been a realtor for 30 years, but guess what, dude? The bus has passed you by. This is the 2000s. It's the new millennium. Professional. Are you kidding me?
What are you going to do?
Is he a professional blogger?
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're just a blogger. And you're definitely not an agent genius.
Oh, let's go ahead and take a break. Right after this, we'll be right back.
If you're a real estate agent who is tired of hearing all the hype about blogging, or if you'd like to be blogging but can't seem to find an easy, cost-effective way to start, then listen up. HomeGain, one of the most visited sites on the web, is offering a free blog with any Source for Sellers subscription. What good is it to have a blog if nobody's going to see it? HomeGain has eyeballs, and eyeballs mean buyers and sellers. If you're going to enter the Web 2.0 world that everyone's talking about, then don't be a Web 1.0 player. HomeGain will provide you with a blog that will connect you directly with buyers and sellers interested in your specific area. You've got to see the HomeGain agent blogs. They look great. They're easy to use, and it's so easy for the home buyers and sellers in your area to contact you. If you sign up for a HomeGain blog, you won't be one of the zillion agents fighting over the same leads. You'll be the exclusive agent with a HomeGain blog for your selected zip code. With HomeGain, marketing is a cinch. Each HomeGain blog has a built-in marketing program that allows you to interact with buyers and sellers. Your blog positions you as the expert in your area. With your HomeGain blog, you will have the opportunity to sell more homes in any market and build your pipeline for future business. Create your HomeGain blog today and help buyers and sellers communicate with a real estate expert in their area.
You.
Visit www.homegain.com/real estate agent or call 866-512-7913 for more information. Again, that's www.homegain.com/real estate agent or call 866-512-7913 for more information. Call today and start building your blog tomorrow.
If this sounds like your closet, then it's time to kick the clutter out of your closet and call Cozy Closets. Their team of craftsmen will consult and install a custom closet quickly and affordably using the highest quality wood and hardware products. Call Cozy Closets today at 888-COZY-003 or visit CozyCloset.com. Shop early and give the gift of organization this holiday season. Don't send another sweater that will clog the closet. Give a Cozy Closets gift certificate and quiet the closet chaos. Call 888-COZY-003 or visit CozyCloset.com today. Because who wouldn't want a cozy closet?
To full team coverage of today's real estate market. You are America's real estate investment source. Real Estate Radio USA.
All right, Barry, we are back. And, you know, we're talking about what's been going on in the real estate blogosphere for a little while. You know, pick it up today, this Monday edition. You know, wipe off the cobwebs, get back into it another week. Some pretty bad storms over the weekend. And even today here in South Florida, so we were hoping that it would stay away so we'd get the show and not get the power shut out here in the studio, but it looks like we're going to make it today. Don't forget, Jennifer Allen, Sell with Soul, coming up at the top of the hour. Barry, going back to what is really been taking a lot of time in a lot of articles in the real estate blogosphere lately is the subject of third-party vendors. And depending on what blog you go to, sometimes these, and what, okay, let's define vendor. A vendor, for the most part, and help me if I'm wrong here, before I understand, the way most real estate professionals, let me say that, real estate professionals look at vendors is any party who is trying to sell something to the real estate professional.
Well, let's say the telephone company professional. He comes to visit you, and then maybe the copier professional comes to see you.
All right, we're gonna have to stop all.
Well,
that.
Because they're,
okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with.
To me, it's bogus. To me, it's a non-issue. To me, it was a PR stunt. To me, it's something that somebody's conjuring up to try and draw traffic to see if they can make the huddled masses feel like they're needed. And I don't mean that to be a denigration. I'm saying call it what it is. I think the whole Vlad thing was a PR stunt. I think we're all in marketing.
Well, what you're saying is, and a lot of people listening to the show don't necessarily read blogs. So let's fill them in to what's actually going on.
All right. There are a certain number of people out there who are saying that that realtors are preyed upon like innocent minnows who have no idea that they're about to get scooped up.
Minnows.
Stuck into a tank full of piranha and Oscars.
You know, you just said innocent minnows.
Innocent
right?
Minnows. I mean, Barry and I were at an Italian restaurant the other night, and we were watching like 20 or 30 goldfish like huddled in the corner, like flipping out and crap. And
I didn't know what was going on. And they said, hey man, look at the other one.
And we're watching like
two or three
Oscars just like lumbering around. And every once in a while, one of them would just swoop down and just mess with them. I was going to use a bad word, but just get in there and screw with them. I wasn't even hungry. Just make,
had already eaten.
Yeah. And then a lady came in the restaurant. She goes, what are all those fish doing there? I go, what do you mean? She goes, when we fed them, they gobbled them all up. What kind of mind screw is it that spit them all back out? Just, hey, we ate it, but, you know, they spit them all back out. They're just completely at the whim.
That is really serious overeating.
Yeah, they're completely at the whim of these vendor fish.
Now, why you got to say vendor fish?
Because that's how certain people make it appear. They make it appear as though there are vendors willing to sell something, and they're going to prey on unsuspecting goldfish realtors. The goldfish realtor doesn't have a clue they're about to get eaten from behind with five or six other goldfish realtors. It's absurd. How can a vendor prey upon you? Hey, listen, Mr. Johnson, I've got this pen. This pen can fill out a contract better than any other pen. You know why? Because it fills it out twice, sucks the ink back out, and you hit the button, it fills it out automatically. At that point, you can say, wow, that's great. I would buy it. How much? That's $59.95. I will take it. Or you can say, I'm fine with the pen I have, and move on. There's no prey. No one's holding your throat there. I mean, what do you want us all to do? You want all realtors to learn how to do PH? Oh, yeah, you do.
Come on.
There is a time and place for you to purchase something. If you do not believe that buying a spotlighted link on Trulia is worth $29,
39.
I'm 39. I'm not going to try to convince you, but that's your choice. If you think home games leads that they provide, that Max isn't bringing it to the table, that's your choice. Nobody's telling you have to.
Yeah, nobody's putting a gun to your head.
No. A vendor, as it's being called in the real estate business, is somebody who provides a third-party service.
Yeah, and to enhance your business.
If you don't feel that it's worth it, don't buy it.
Right.
Pure and simple. But you can't say, and you cannot pontificate, that vendors are not needed. You have a telephone. You have an internet provider. Those vendors are okay.
And here you go. Here's a vendor that not a lot of people think about.
WordPress?
No. I have yet to see one real estate agent go put a sign in somebody's yard, dig a hole, plant it, and when it's done, go pick it back up again.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're not even saying those vendors. Not having to, quote, respond to vendors or take crap from vendors.
No. What I understood and what some people are saying is that you can use vendors right now, but you eventually need to do away with vendors and do it yourself because it's a freeing experience.
Barry, if you called me up and said, hey, listen, we've got this house for sale, and what I'd like you to do is come on over and put the sign on the ground, dig the hole. It is 112 degrees outside, I understand. Or you're saying, hey, Barry, do you want to pick up the phone and have this guy do it for $50? That's a call you don't have to make.
No.
And there is a place for vendors. I don't understand why. And number one, I don't even like the term vendors because third-party provider would be better for me.
That is correct.
You know, I mean, you're almost, again, saying the N-word. Earlier we talked about, you know, certain people not being real estate professionals. Now you're trying to denigrate someone and call them a vendor. They run a business, a sizable business. Some of these, quote, vendors do a lot more revenue than most realtors do.
Of course.
I would venture to say that Home Gain's bottom line and Trulia's bottom line and Zillow's bottom line are a lot bigger than XYZ Real Estate Office.
Yeah, and from what I understand, Home Gain has a marketing department. They have a business division.
Barry,
they have a technical.
Barry.
What?
What's a marketing department?
Exactly. I mean, we talked about that this weekend, and we're going to put a show specifically together for what a real estate professional should have as a team in order to run an effective business.
Barry, let me ask you a question.
Let me do the air quotes for you. Business.
If you called a plumber right now, he's going to come over with a toolbox. He's got a lot of tools in that toolbox, and then he's probably got a whole lot more in the truck.
Yes.
And then he's probably got a whole crap load more at the warehouse.
Yes.
If he needs that. Because he's been taught, I need to be ready. I need to be ready for that call. Somebody wants me to come in and put a new bathroom in. I can't tell them, you know? I can't really do that right now. Why? I'm trying to figure out what vendor I need to go through.
Oh.
Better be ready.
Yeah.
Better be ready to strike when the iron's hot and make your money. I personally feel, and I'm developing a post, which is going to be a lot more than a post, and it's probably going to tick a lot of people off, and it's just simply going to be...
Tick people off?
I don't care.
Okay.
And those who read it will understand, yeah, it's true, how to dominate your market in 30 to 60 days, period. I can show you, and with any doubt, how you can dominate your real estate market in 30 to 60 days. And I doubt anybody will take us. And it doesn't involve knocking on any doors. It doesn't involve licking stamps. It involves running it like a business. And you'll look from Andrew Carnegie to, you know, all these Zig Ziglar. You're going to find there's a common component. And for some reason, the real estate industry has not allowed its owners / realtors to run things as a business. It almost deters them from it. It almost tells you, don't do this.
Yes.
And then new people are brought in and they're told, don't do that. Come, let me show you how to knock on some doors. What?
Well, what the good thing about this is, I don't know many people that are too far gone.
Right.
If you want to change, it's as simple as putting into practice some very basic principles,
mm-hmm.
and growing on those principles and getting behind them and actually executing. So don't think this is something that, oh, I've been in business 20 years. I can, you know, I've already got. No, you can do this.
Yep.
You can start this the very next day.
And dominate your network.
And actually, and you talk about dominate. I'm talking very specific, measurable results.
Yes. Very, very
easy. And that's all you can ask for in any business.
We've had enough guests on this show where we've been able to compile a lot of data. We've seen where the common denominators are over and over again. We've talked to some of their parallel motivators and people they've spoken to. And there's a common denominator theme between all these people who are successful, and Barry and I aren't going to do the same thing. It's going to be basically a master plan on how to dominate a market in a very short period of time.
Sure.
It's not difficult, but most people, if not 99% of them, will look at it and go, I'm not doing that. There's no way I'm going to do that. I'm not going to put myself out in that way. I'm trying to keep the terms
so I don't say them.
But it's very simple. It's very simple because let me tell you something. When you can look at a market, I don't care if it's widgets. We'll just say widgets. And you look around and say, what are all the widget companies doing? And there's no specific widget company that wants to gain market share. There's no specific widget company that wants to increase market share above their competitors. Not willing to increase market share. Not willing to do what's necessary to increase market share. They want to follow the pack. Then a venture capital company, a person with some money behind them, looks at that as an unexploited niche.
Unexploited niche. I like that.
I mean, can you imagine right now saying, hey, listen, there are no personal computer companies out there. Nobody wants to be the one to sell computers. Nobody wants to sell computers to the masses. Nobody wants to sell software to the masses. They just want to have knock on some doors and see if you want to buy some software.
Yeah, Barry, but computers aren't local.
I'm going to take that, and we're going to wrap that in a sock and ask people to stuff it where the sun doesn't shine. It doesn't matter. As we're sitting out the window here, I'm watching a school bus drive by.
Well, I mean, you can almost equate it to a mom-and-pop retail business,
mm-hmm.
Okay? A mom-and-pop retail business, as long as you've got a sellable product.
Yes.
And I hope every real estate agent out there has a sellable product. If you don't have a sellable product, which means salesmanship and knowledge, then you don't need to be in the business anyway.
Well, here's the first part about that. And we're talking about that retail business, mom and pop.
Sure.
And we're talking about the plumber. And I'm talking about the restaurateur. Each of them are completely experienced and well-versed in that which they're getting into. That guy who makes sushi had to learn how to cook that. I mean, how to cut that fish. He had to learn how to make those dishes if it's a conventional restaurant. They didn't go to school for a week and learn how to cook and open a restaurant. It doesn't happen.
Right.
You can't even be a plumber. You can't go in and say, listen, I'm going to be a plumber today. And what'd you do? I watched something on television or I took an online class and now I'm a plumber. It ain't going to happen.
No.
It ain't going to happen. But it can happen in real estate. So you're lucky there. You're lucky because tomorrow or rather next week you could call yourself professional. But where you're going to be lacking is knowing what all the other professionals know how to do.
Yes.
And you're going to be asking other people who took the same route as you, who have probably as limited experience and business as you, and you're asking them for advice, and it's self-perpetuating.
Well, you're right, Barry. I mean, I don't look at a real estate agent and look down on them because they don't know how to market.
Not at all.
I don't look down on a restaurateur because he doesn't know how to market. I don't look at a real estate agent and get down because he doesn't know how to cook. What, bottom line is there's certain – your business is selling real estate. Mm-hmm. All the other things that make up your business, that make a business run – you're going to have to find someone to supplement you. And wait, what does that supplement you? That means you're probably going to need a vendor or two.
Or a partner.
Or a partner.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what about the restaurant across the street?
What's that?
If he goes into business and it doesn't work, he goes out of business. A realtor doesn't work, they just keep going.
Yeah, because they have no expenses.
No expenses.
Right.
It's not a business.
All right, Barry, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, Jennifer Allen right here on Real Estate Radio USA.
There's a reason Cupid.com focuses on people who live nearby. Because it works.
I used another online dating service for a year before I signed up with yours. I met some wonderful people at that other service, but one was from Honolulu, one was from Alaska, and another from Puerto Rico. The logistics of dating someone across the country were insurmountable. Then I heard one of your ads talking about matching couples in my area and decided to give it a shot. Though you may not have all the scientific personality profiling, it makes up for it in convenience. And isn't proximity one of the most important variables in the relationship equation? I think I've met the girl of my dreams. Sweet, funny, talented, intelligent, sassy, and hot. And she lives close by. Imagine that, a first date with a girl from an online dating service, and I don't have to meet her at the airport. I'm sure you make many people smile. Thanks again, Michael.
You can find true love either online or at one of our fun local events. Cupid.com, advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Are you an entrepreneur? Make your small business sound bigger and more professional with GodVmail's virtual phone service. Starting at only $9.95 a month, GodVmail works just like a large company phone system, but is designed specifically for small and home-based businesses. There's no hardware to purchase or install. GodVmail works with any existing phone, home, office, or cell. Features include an auto attendant, multiple extensions for employees, voicemails to MP3s, and more. Sign up today at BigCompanySound.com. That's BigCompanySound.com.
My sister and her husband thought they could sell their house themselves. Half the people who came were in no position to buy.
As a realtor, I have a lender pre-qualify every buyer. Nobody else gets in. Nobody wastes your time.
And a couple of the folks that showed up made Carol kind of nervous.
Hey, I make sure these people are who they say they are. You gotta play it safe.
Our house is on the market right now, and it feels so good to have Lauren handling everything.
I love what I do.
And I love my realtor.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Every day, children are sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Now, back to full team coverage of today's real estate market. You are America's real estate investment source. Real Estate Radio USA.
All right, everybody, we are back. And as promised, now joining us on the program, she's a top producing real estate broker and published author, a speaker, and a trainer. Her flagship book, Sell with Soul, Creating an Extraordinary Career in Real Estate Without Losing Your Friends, Your Principles, or Your Self-Respect. She's the newest contributing author here at Real Estate Radio USA. Please welcome to the program Ms. Jennifer Allen. Jennifer, how you doing?
Wonderful, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, we tried to get you on last week, had some technical difficulties, so thanks for rescheduling so quickly with us. We know we had a lot of people that wanted to get you on. I mean, I tell you what, your articles are probably some of the most read on the website. So people,
are you serious?
Absolutely, people are really responding to you, and great job so far.
Well, you just made my day. Thank you very much.
Well, anything I can do to help out, you just let me know.
Absolutely.
Well, let's start out a little bit. I mean, the way we talked about, we were talking about you earlier. I just want you to know.
Really, I wasn't listening. What'd you say?
Well, I said you were very, very cool.
Oh, cool.
All right. Well, we were talking about your thing. We talk a lot on the program about technology and stuff like that. The reason I love having you on and having you as a contributing author is that's not your thing. It's more of the sphere of influence, working with people and selling as a part of just with your techniques that you have. And I think it's great because a lot of our listeners are out there. I think they're really responding to this.
Good. Oh, that's exciting. That's the point, I guess. But yeah, that's great.
Well, one of the big posts you had, and I loved it, you started talking about referrals.
Right.
and how to get referrals and ask your friends for referrals without losing all your friends.
Right.
If you could, talk to us a little bit about that, some techniques and things you can go and work with your sphere of influence and talking about referrals.
Sure. This is actually one of probably the most controversial topic that I talk about, which makes it the most fun and probably my favorite topic to talk about. But the title of that article, which is probably my most read article that I've ever written across the web, is "What's the Best Way to Ask for Referrals? ... Don't. And I feel strongly, and you're not going to talk me out of this, nobody's going to talk me out of this, that it's absolutely unnecessary to ask your friends or your past clients or your current clients for referrals. It's unnecessary, it's unprofessional, and it damages your credibility to do so. And again, people fight me on this all the time. They tell me how it works great for them. I always ask everyone for referrals, and I've never offended anybody yet. And what I would like to say is, you know, try not doing it and see how much more business you actually get. The reason I'm so against what I call referral begging is that most people, if they know that you're good at what you do, if they know how to find you, and it's real nice if they've heard from you lately, they're going to send business your way without your asking for it. When you go out and start asking people for referrals, not only does it put them on the spot, which I tell you, when my friends ask me for referrals, I don't like it. It has damaged some of my friendships because, you know what, there may be a reason I haven't referred anybody to them, but I don't like the obligation that my friend has just put on our friendship. Okay. But in any event, to me, when somebody asks me for a referral, especially if they ask more than once, it implies to me that they don't have enough business. Well, of course, I mean, we're all self-employed people. We would like more business, but I still like the idea that somebody I'm going to refer to has plenty of business because they're so darn good at what they do and they're so well-respected, and maybe they even have a waiting list of people wanting to use their services. I had a client today, a current client of mine, send me an email asking if it was okay if she gave out my name, and I love that. Because she's under the impression that I have plenty of business, I'm a competent real estate agent, and she wants to make sure that I have room on my docket for her friends. That's the impression to me that as a professional real estate agent, you want to be giving out there. You know, the whole I heart referrals, I know probably half the people listening here have that on their business card. And I don't think they've really given it a lot of thought as to the message that sends. And, you know, there are plenty of ways to let people know that you work by referrals without coming right out and putting people on the spot, without obligating them to it. And I could go on and on about this, but, and I will if you want me to.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, a lot of people responded to this because I think a lot of people overdo this, and mm-hmm. and a lot of people when they're hungry, especially in a market like today, you know, it's really bad out there for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people are doing a lot of business. Every opportunity, they feel like they always got to be asking for business. And mm-hmm. I think you hit it head on. Every time you ask for business, I get uncomfortable when mm-hmm. I'm in a social type situation and people are asking me for business. No, I came out to have a drink with you.
Right. That's what I tell people. When you go out to a social event, leave your business cards in the car so you're not tempted to go around pestering everybody for their business. If somebody asks you for your business card, you know, you can certainly try it out to your car and get it. But, and that's not really what we're talking about now, but as far as, you know, asking for business, asking for referrals, it's unnecessary. And if somebody isn't referring to you, there may be a reason for that, okay? But likely, you know, they just don't have anybody to refer to you this moment. You know, my biggest referral sources, maybe send me a couple people a year. You know, the world is not out there as your prospecting machine.
Right.
So, you know, constantly pestering people to send you referrals, you know, they're going to start avoiding your calls. They're going to start avoiding you at parties. And nobody in our business wants or needs that. something you just said made me think of something, and I lost it. But I'm sure I'll think of it at a really inopportune time.
Nice. No, that's great. Well,
I know what it was.
Shoot,
I know what it was.
Shoot.
You know, one of the questions I always get as a follow-up to, you know, please don't ask for referrals, is, okay, well, then how do I let my friends know that I work by referral, that I want their referrals? Well, what kind of was drilled into me just literally today, an hour ago, when my client emailed me and said, you know, can I refer these people to you? Do you mind? Was I never asked her for referrals. Did I take the chance she wouldn't know that I'd want them? Yes, I took that chance. However, I'd much rather take that chance than take the other risk of annoying her or damaging my credibility. So will you miss out on referrals because you don't tell people you want them? Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. Again, remember, as long as people think that you do a reasonably good job, they know how to reach you, and they've heard from you recently, they're going to think of you when they think real estate agent. It just comes naturally.
Well,
my chiropractor does not beg me for referrals, and I send people to her constantly.
That's what I was just saying. I mean, as a normal course of our business, we work with a lot of professionals, attorneys, agents, appraisers, home inspectors. Mm-hmm. And if somebody asks me for an attorney, I give out my attorney's number. I mean, right. I don't have to call my attorney. My attorney's never asked me once, hey, if somebody asks for me, here's some business cards.
Right. And Barry, do you send business to people you feel sorry for?
Oh, absolutely not.
No. And that's what this referral begging to me, it's going out there saying, guys, friends, help me out, man. I just need some business. Give me a chance, please. That's what you're doing, is you're asking people to feel sorry for you. And sorry, I'm not going to send someone to a hairstylist that I think needs business.
You know?
That's just not going to happen.
No, you're absolutely right. I would almost wish that I'd send somebody to my attorney or something. Hey, listen, I'm completely booked. I'm not taking any new clients right now. I'll refer you to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
My guy is so good, he doesn't need any more business.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's cool. You get it. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, but I think you're right. And I don't understand the traditional broker, everybody, work your sphere of influence. What do people mean when they say work your sphere of influence? I don't understand that. Besides going and asking for business all the time,
mm-hmm.
How do you work your sphere of influence? Hey, mom, dad, anybody
right.
you know need any
right.
real estate?
Are you asking me that question?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. I've used that term, too, and I kind of laugh when I say it because it does sound so kind of cheesy. But to work your sphere of influence, it simply means that you make sure the people in your life know that you're a reasonably competent human being. They know that you love your job. You love being a real estate agent. You're good at it. You're confident. They know where to find you. And, again, they've heard from you recently. It actually, to me, working your sphere of influence means you don't assault anyone with your sales pitch, ever. Ever. You know, you just, when you're at a social event and you're talking to someone you know, let your enthusiasm for your career, let that come out. Let people hear how much you love being a real estate agent. Let them, you know, tell a story about your career that gives them the impression that, yeah, you know what you're doing. You're not bragging. You know, you're not going out and tooting your own horn, but people feel it when you're feeling successful, when you're enthusiastic, when you're confident. You're magnetic, and that will draw people to you. Working your sphere of influence means simply saying, I hear a lot of times people, when I talk about this, they say, I don't have time for all this socializing. Okay, what is it you're doing? You know, you're here listening to me because you don't have enough business. So something you're doing isn't working. Let's try something else. And I don't have time to socialize. God, you know, life's way too short, you know, to say, I don't have time for my friends. So it means making time for your friends, going out in the world with a smile on your face and makeup on, you know, lipstick on, smile on your face, a sexy pair of jeans, being out there in the world with your antenna up. You know your real estate markets. You know what you're doing. You're meeting new people. You're pleasant. You're not annoying. And that's it. And staying in touch.
Well, a lot of traditional real estate training say it's really about a numbers game. Uh-oh.
Right.
what do you got to say to that?
Well, it's interesting. When I first started writing about sphere of influence stuff, I kind of bashed the numbers game. I was like, this is ridiculous. Who wants to be treated like a number? And who wants to make 99 phone calls that, you know, where you're rejected so you can get to that one phone call where you get a yes or a maybe? You know, this is a stupid game. Why would you want to do this? And I kind of, you know, ranted and raved on and on about how dumb the numbers game of real estate is and how it's unnecessary. Well, what occurred to me on a drive across Kansas one day was that you can use the concept of a numbers game very successfully in a sphere of influence or a relationship-based business model. You know, for example, let's say if you send out 100 Bronco schedules to your farm area, you know, what are the chances that the people in that farm area are going to, one, keep your postcard, and two, think of you when they have a real estate need? You know, probably pretty slim. I mean, right. Maybe one person out of 100 maybe will give you a phone call. Maybe two, maybe five if, you know, you're really, really lucky. Okay, so five people out of 100 responded to your effort. Well, let's say, just for fun, you sent out 100 personal emails to 100 people that you know. Okay. Or let's make it easier. Let's say you sent out 10.
Okay.
That you sat down one afternoon and you sent out 10 personal emails to some of your friends. You know, hi, how you doing? It's been a while since I talked to you. How's the puppy? Life's good here. Let's go out for a cup of coffee. What are you doing next Tuesday? Okay. You do that 10 times. What kind of response rate do you think you'll get?
Oh, with friends of yours, I'd hope you get near 10.
Exactly. You're going to get 100% response rate. Okay, 80% maybe.
Yeah, with my friends, maybe 50.
Okay, that's still pretty darn good. Now, as long as your email is not a sales pitch, you're going to get at least 80%, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So does that mean that all 8 people are going to send you a real estate referral or call you up to sell their house? Well, no. No, of course not. Okay, so let's say, though, that you follow up and you go to coffee in the next month with all 10 people. You just touched everyone those 8 people know. So if all 8 of your friends know 50 other people, I can't do math, that's 400 people?
Yeah.
408 people. You just touched 408 people. If they all know 100 other people, you know, you just touched however many that is, 808 people. The cool thing, what's neat about the numbers game of a relationship-based marketing strategy is that when you send out your 100 postcards, you're on your knees praying that one of those 100 people has a real estate need. Wow. Not in your wildest dreams are you thinking they're going to call all their friends and tell them about you. Or if they're at a party that night and somebody says, I'm looking for a real estate agent, they're going to say, holy cow, I just got a postcard from a real estate agent. You've got to call her. That isn't going to happen. But when you're touching your sphere of influence, and I'm not saying, you know, your best friends, but if you're touching people you know, you are also touching everyone they know. And the numbers can add up into the thousands. I mean, in a couple months, if you took 8 people to lunch every month or to coffee every month.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're going to touch thousands and thousands of people by the end of the year. And how many houses do we need to have a good year? 20? You know, how many houses do we need to sell? 20, 30, 40, 60, 70? Whatever that number is, if you're touching thousands of people every year, personally, and I, you know, this is getting a little graphic, but if you're touching them as a result in a relationship, if you're referred to other people by a friend, that's a whole lot more powerful than sending out, you know, 10,000 postcards. So that's where I think the numbers game of a sphere of influence strategy is so much stronger than the numbers game of mass marketing.
And you know what I love about that? It's not like working. You're actually, if you like to have friends, you get to actually go and spend time with your friends.
Yeah, what a concept. And you know what? Here's the fun thing. When you're going out to lunch, you're going out for coffee, you're going out for margaritas, you know what? You don't have to pay. Because what? You're not taking, it's not a business lunch. I tell you, I'm a girl. When I go out with my guy friends, I never pay because they're guys, they pay. It's social. It's a social thing. It's not a business. And so people say, oh my God, I couldn't possibly afford to go out to lunch with all my friends. Well, sure you can. Split the bill. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. You're just hanging out with a friend.
Right. Right. So, you're not going out in your three-piece suit and your American Express business card, picking up the tab so that you can give a sales pitch.
Yeah, you're hanging out.
Yeah.
Well, there's one thing I've been wanting to talk to you about. And you mentioned in an article before, and I've seen it again. You talk about the value of wasting time. Makes no sense to me. You're going to have to really dumb it down and explain it to me.
Cool. This is another thing that I get a lot of flack about, and I love it. I just love it. We hear a lot in our industry, especially with rookies, but also with agents who aren't having the production that they want, that they need to learn how to not waste their time. I've seen this a lot lately, and I've written about this kind of obnoxiously, is a lot of agents are saying that they won't work with buyers, they won't waste their time with buyers anymore because of the cost of gas. Now, what do they mean by waste their time with buyers? They mean, I won't go out with a buyer who's not pre-approved. I won't go out with a buyer who won't sign a buyer agency because the price of gas is too high. Okay. Well, in my opinion, especially for a rookie, but for anybody who's suffering a little bit right now for business, anything that either, one, puts you in front of a warm body, or two, teaches you something about your real estate market is not a waste of time. Now, none of this applies if you're overwhelmed with motivated, qualified, pre-approved buyers. Okay, if you have plenty of business that you don't have room for at all, then of course you need to figure out how to not waste your time and where to spend your time most valuably. However, that's not the case for most agents in our industry today. Most of our agents are hungry, they're scared, they're desperate. They need to be out there in the world, wasting their time with a buyer who can't buy for 6 months, wasting their time with a seller who probably isn't going to hire them but is just looking for opinions, looking for three or four CMAs. If you were to get a sign call while you're sitting on floor in your office, the guy says, hey, my agent's out of town on vacation. I'd really like to see one of your office listings. Can you show it to me? You need to run out and show him the darn house. Why? Because what else are you doing? Right. You're sitting in the office trying to work up some nerve to call a for sale by owner. You're taking a nap. You're, working on your incentive farming campaign. what are you doing instead? But if you're out in your car with a warm body sitting next to you looking at real estate, in my opinion, that's not a waste of time. Besides, I really like a full pipeline. And a lot of trainers will tell you everything you do needs to be leading to a sale in the next 30 days. Again, I'd say, BS. I'll take a closing in 60 days. I'll take a closing in 90 days. I'll take a closing in 120 days. I'll take a closing in 2 years.
Sure.
But if I blow off people today because they're quote-unquote a waste of time, you think they're coming back to me?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So anytime, I will waste my time. In fact, I did a blog about this on Active Rain about the gas prices. And I said, if you don't have time to waste with buyers, I'm happy to take them. I will drive them all over Denver. I'll give you a referral fee. And don't you worry, they'll be very well taken care of. I'm happy to waste my time with someone who might lead me to a paycheck, or better yet, guess how many people that person knows?
Right.
Do they know 50 people? Do they know 100 people?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's about getting the word out there that this is what you're doing. I never understood that when people said, I don't work with buyers. They just waste my time. I never understood it.
Well, and I really think that our industry needs to redefine what a good use of your time is. And... again, the other thing that there's not enough of in our industry is learning your market.
Right.
And so, you know, that's by far the best way to build your business is to be an expert in your market. So anytime I get a chance to go learn my market a little more, that's not a waste of time. And if I can have a warm body sitting in the car next to me while I'm doing it, great. You know, I don't have a problem wasting my time as long as I'm doing one of those two things.
Absolutely. I mean, well, we talked about wasting your time, and I love the gas one, by the way, the gas post. I mean, you broke it down, and I want everybody, I mean, we've got that on the Real Estate Radio USA blog as well.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, you broke it down to where riding someone around for even a whole day or a half day, it's a matter of $5 or $6.
Right. Not for the tank of gas. It's $5 or $6 more than you would have paid a year ago.
Exactly. Yeah. You didn't always not do anything.
Right.
It almost seems to me like people are trying to find excuses not to work.
You know, a good friend of mine said it really clearly was, you know, real estate agents work so hard to bring people to the door, and then they put up enormous roadblocks as soon as those people get there. And I, you know, that's, and this is a total different topic, but that's how I feel about buyer agency, and that's how I feel about the pre-qualification nonsense. I'm not going to pester someone about that. Get them in my car. Let's make friends. Let's have a good time. We'll talk about that stuff when it comes.
Yeah, because there's certain things you can do to get them qualified. I mean,
I don't care if they're qualified the day we go out.
Right.
If they're a new person, I'm going to make friends with them.
Exactly.
Hey, and, you know.
You seem like a person that has a lot of friends.
Not really. I'm actually pretty shy.
Me too. That's why I have a radio show.
Yeah, that's why I write.
There you go. We talk about generating referrals and how important that is to any business. Share some techniques with us, please.
Sure. In our business, the real estate business, the absolute best way to generate referrals is to do a hell of a job for the clients you have. And it's that simple. You always put the clients, on my profile, if you've looked at one of my profiles, it says, the clients I'm honored to have today are far more important than the clients I hope to have tomorrow. And if you truly treat people that way, go above and beyond every chance, every time you get the chance, do more than you have to do, waste your time, you know, with that buyer who wants to go back to the house yet a third time to measure drapes and, you know, measure for drapes and he hasn't even put it under contract yet. Do a great job for the clients you have. That's by far the best way to generate referrals. And I'll stand by that. It's better than newsletters, it's better than little dorky gifts that you drop by to people. I don't even do closing gifts. I don't need to do closing gifts. I did a really good job. That's
right.
What they're going to remember. I don't need to bribe people to send me referrals. And I tell you, I could give away a Rolex watch at every closing, and if I didn't do a good job, I'm not going to get that business. So doing a great job for the clients you have, knowing how to be a competent, exceptional real estate agent, you know, to stay in touch with people in a non-salesy way, you know, that is important. The other way to generate business, not necessarily referrals, but business, is to be a master of your market. And if you can go into a social event and talk intelligently about the real estate market, you're going to have a captive audience.
Exactly.
And people are going to ask you for your business cards.
Well, we all know that without having referrals, you can't really have any closings. And these referrals really are the birthing of leads. One of your specialties, in addition to sphere of influence, is actually making sure a transaction gets closed.
Right.
Some guidelines, some tips for those agents out there that may be having some trouble keeping these leads or making sure that the thing goes all the way to closing.
Well, that's a great question, and it's something, again, I don't think that people really spend enough time on, and it kind of goes back to what I just said. Doing a heck of a job for your clients includes staying on top of your transactions. I'm the most organized person on the planet, so it's very easy for me to keep track of dates and deadlines and make sure that we don't miss anything, but a long time ago, an agent in my office told me, she's like, I love doing deals with you, Jennifer, because they close. And she said, if I sell one of your listings, it's going to close. You know, I don't know. To me, it comes very naturally. You just stay on top of it. You don't get in fights unnecessarily. You always look for a win for everybody when you can. You know, you're a good negotiator. You don't beat people up just for the fun of beating them up, but you get your client what you want. A lot of it, to me, is just an understanding of human nature and putting the pieces and parts together that lead to a closing. Now, another thing that's huge, huge, huge for keeping your deals together is to have a handyman, you know, to have a handyman on call. I work in a market that is...
You're out in Denver,
historic,
right?
Homes. Denver, Central Denver historic homes. You know, I sell mostly houses built in the early 1900s up to the 1950s.
Nice.
I once had a string of closings go... I had 29 closings in a row without one of them falling apart.
Oh.
And that was mainly, and you know, I mean, inspections, as you can imagine, in these old houses are, you know, they're challenging.
Nightmare.
And having a handyman, having a good roofer, having a good HVAC guy, having a team of people who know who you are, know they're going to get paid, know you're going to take care of them is huge in keeping your deals together.
Excellent.
Being prepared for an appraisal. You know, in my book, I talk about a lot of this. The book that's coming out just in a few weeks is, you know, how to be a competent real estate agent. And that includes keeping your deals together. And here's how you do that.
Well, you mentioned the book. Let's go on the first book, Sell with Soul.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. When did you write it? And what was the inspiration?
Well, what's happening right now, I wrote Sell with Soul, I think it was first released in early 2007, so just a year and a half ago. And then the second edition of Sell with Soul is coming out the 1st of July. The inspiration for writing the book was actually, it was kind of funny, a girlfriend of mine had just gotten out of real estate school, and she was going through her training, and she called me and she said, Jennifer, you got to write a book on how to actually do this job. Nobody's teaching me how to do this. They're teaching me how to prospect. They're teaching me, you know, how to do open houses. They're teaching me how to farm. But nobody's teaching me what to do when I get a client. So I was like, oh, I can do that. And at the time, I was selling real estate. I had a full-time job, paid me very well. You know, I didn't intend to write the book to be an author. I just wrote the book because she kind of challenged me to do it. So I wrote Sell with Soul. The first edition, anyway, I released it. I self-published it, and I released it. And I didn't really, I mean, I designed the cover myself. You know,
nice.
You know, it was kind of not the most professional book on the planet, but I never really expected it to be. Well, the reviews started coming in, and people saying, you know, this book changed my life.
Right.
I got tears when I, you know, and I'm going, oh, I might have something here.
Exactly.
So last winter, or last fall, I was approached by a New York publishing house and said, you know, we'd really like to publish your next book. What do you say? And I talked to them and decided it wasn't a good fit. I'm too much of a control freak to turn it over to a publisher, but it really did get me thinking that, you know, people like this book. They're responding to it. I got to get a better package out there. So that was the reason for the new book, is it's now a very professional package. It's about 50% bigger. It's updated, you know, more for today's market. And, you know, it's coming out in a couple weeks, and it's gorgeous, and I'm proud of it. I can't wait I'm so excited about it.
Well, when it comes out, you need to come back on and let us know how it's going. Maybe we give out a copy or two to a caller or two.
Yeah, I might even autograph it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, it comes out July 11th, and you can actually buy it now on my website. Well, you get the ebook now. I'm selling the first 1,000 copies. You can reserve one of the first 1,000 copies, and it'll be actually numbered and autographed. And if you buy it on my website now, you'll get the downloadable book right away. And then sometime in mid-July, you'll get the real book.
And that's sellwithsoul.com.
Yes, sir.
Sellwithsoul.com. I love that, Sell with Soul. I mean, it talks about everything that you're about.
Yeah.
Exactly the kind of thing that you're talking about. Talk about a branding that fits perfectly with the kind of person you are.
Thank you.
I mean, it's
fantastic.
Well, you
know, on the cover of the book, there are four words of the new book, and it's, what is it, confidence, respect, confidence, and enthusiasm. And that, to me, is what, you know, Soul with Soul means.
That's beautiful. Well, I mean,
it's funny because I do see around Active Rain, I do see people now referring to selling with soul as if that's a, you know, that's a household word, and it's just, you know, that just puts tears in my eyes. It's exciting.
Well, I mean, you wrote something that a lot of people really responded to. I mean, it's and you wrote it from the heart, and it means something. I mean, it the techniques and what you talk about really work. So, of course, and that's one problem that I think needed being addressed. A lot of people go out there; they're from different professions or from different walks of life. You don't have to have the barrier to entry in this business is not as such that is keeping a lot of people out. So when people get in, they don't have a lot of experience, and a book like yours can really turn somebody's career around.
Well, what I love about the response that I've gotten to the book is that I actually speak to probably a minority of real estate agents, because I don't talk to them as if they're salespeople. I talk to them as if they're advisors. And so the people who have responded to it are exceptional real estate agents because they're very good at what they do and they want to be good at what they do, but the training they're getting and the coaching they're getting goes so against their personality that they either quit or fail. And that's one thing, again, the soul, Sell with Soul brings in, is you don't have to change who you are to succeed in this business. You don't have to become somebody you don't recognize or someone you don't like. You can be yourself and you can succeed. If yourself is a natural outgoing salesperson, then by all means, do that. But I'm not. I can't sell anything. And I've been very successful. So that's another message I really want to get out there. That
use what you got.
Yeah. And, you know, stay in your comfort zone.
Beautiful.
Nothing wrong with your comfort zone.
It's where you get comfort.
It's, you know, you're an adult person. You've done just fine for your whole life in your comfort zone. Stay there. It's fine.
Absolutely. Well, Jennifer, we're almost out of time, but again, the website, sellwithsoul.com, right? All right, we're going to encourage everybody to go there. Plus, we're going to put a link to the website. I want to thank you again for taking the time, joining us on the program. Hopefully, we'll have you back on around July 11th when the new book comes out.
This was so fun. So I'm glad you guys had me on. This was a blast.
Well, keep up the articles. We know everybody loves to read them, too. So
good.
we're going to keep up with that. And we I want to talk to you again very, very soon.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again. And everybody, that's Jennifer Allen. We're going to take a quick break. Be back right after this with more, Barry. Hold on.
Welcome to the Corona 60-Second Getaway. Grab a lime, an icy Corona, or Corona Light, and kick back with Tony Bennett and Stevie Wonder. For once in my life.
For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me. Not like it's hurt me before. For once, I have someone I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore. For once, I can say, this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know.
That was Tony Bennett and Stevie Wonder with For Once in My Life. The 60-Second Getaway is brought to you by Corona and Corona Light, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Corona reminds you to relax responsibly.
A leader can recognize another leader. A commander can recognize a commander-in-chief. That's why General Norman Schwarzkopf, the successful commander of Desert Storm, has endorsed John McCain for president. And why over 100 other generals and admirals agree with General Schwarzkopf that John McCain has demonstrated the type of courageous leadership our country sorely needs at this time. John McCain, the one man who believes Americans want a leader, not a follower. The one man who has the judgment and experience to be commander-in-chief. The one man who always put his country before himself. The one man who will do what's best for America, not just what's easy. John McCain is the one man prepared to lead the country in a time of crisis.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Paid for by John McCain, 2008.
Tornadoes had been reported in several neighboring states.
Jonathan Harlan, CEO of Aeneas Internet and Telephone, Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 Twister touchdown in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
If you're a real estate agent who is tired of hearing all the hype about blogging, or if you'd like to be blogging but can't seem to find an easy, cost-effective way to start, then listen up. HomeGain, one of the most visited sites on the web, is offering a free blog with any Source for Sellers subscription. What good is it to have a blog if nobody's going to see it? HomeGain has eyeballs, and eyeballs mean buyers and sellers. If you're going to enter the Web 2.0 world that everyone's talking about, then don't be a Web 1.0 player. HomeGain will provide you with a blog that will connect you directly with buyers and sellers interested in your specific area. You've got to see the HomeGain agent blogs. They look great. They're easy to use, and it's so easy for the home buyers and sellers in your area to contact you. If you sign up for a HomeGain blog, you won't be one of the zillion agents fighting over the same leads. You'll be the exclusive agent with a HomeGain blog for your selected zip code. With HomeGain, marketing is a cinch. Each HomeGain blog has a built-in marketing program that allows you to interact with buyers and sellers. Your blog positions you as the expert in your area. With your HomeGain blog, you will have the opportunity to sell more homes in any market and build your pipeline for future business. Create your HomeGain blog today and help buyers and sellers communicate with a real estate expert in their area. You. Visit www.homegain.com/real estate agent or call 866-512-7913 for more information. Again, that's www.homegain.com/real estate agent or call 866-512-7913 for more information. Call today and start building your blog tomorrow.
If this sounds like your closet, then it's time to kick the clutter out of your closet and call Cozy Closets. Their team of craftsmen will consult and install a custom closet quickly and affordably using the highest quality wood and hardware products. Call Cozy Closets today at 888-COZY-003 or visit CozyClosets.com. Shop early and give the gift of organization this holiday season. Don't send another sweater that will clog the closet. Give a Cozy Closets gift certificate and quiet the closet chaos. Call 888-COZY-003 or visit CozyClosets.com today. Because who wouldn't want a cozy closet?
To full team coverage of today's real estate market. You are America's real estate investment source. Real Estate Radio USA.
All right, Bear, we are back. Just got done with Jennifer Allen, sellwithsoul.com. Go there, check it out, Barry. Pre-order one of those books. I tell you what, if you're having a hard time with sphere of influence, you're a real estate professional that's losing friends because you don't know how to talk to people and think all your friends are your referral machines, read her book, take it to heart, and thank her later for it. I mean, seriously. I mean, great woman. She has some great points, a new approach. But it's simple stuff. I just don't understand why. Buy her book and get it over with. That's all I'm saying. We're going to have her back on July 11th.
I just, see how these, like, a vision of a cocktail party in my mind. Hey, so Barry, how's it going out there? Oh, it's going great. Hey, can you want to buy a house?
You know anybody who wants to buy a house? You know anybody
else wants to buy a house? Can you refer me to someone who wants to buy a house?
Or sell a house.
You can just see that
No,
person.
Because I don't work with buyers. I got some buyers, and I don't work with buyers. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was great hearing that kind of refreshing tone and information from somebody like Jennifer.
Yeah, we like Jennifer a lot. I mean, I've been a fan since the gas post.
Speaking of refreshing, we're going to jump and leapfrog ahead. We got some good shows coming up in the next couple of days, of course, but you're not going to want to miss Thursday.
We've been working on Thursday for a long time.
We've got David Gibbons who's gonna speak to us about Zillow.
David Gibbons, who's that?
And talk to us about what Zillow does. But I'm really, really looking forward
Don't
to...
Don't just skim over David Gibbons.
I'll give him his props. I want to talk about the second part of this because it goes into what I was talking about earlier. What I was talking about earlier in regards to how you can dominate your market and how that post is going to come out Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be how you can dominate your market in 30 to 60 days. We've got Glenn Kelman on Thursday as well.
CEO of Redfin.
And I'm not looking to diminish the impact of having David Gibbons on Thursday, but Thursday's going to be just loaded.
Yeah, Thursday's going to be a big day.
But Glenn Kelman's interview is going to underscore, I believe, what I am saying about how to take over your market. Now that USA Today and where else was he on? CNN. Where else did you find him?
I mean, 60 Minutes. I mean, this guy... Does he do his own PR or does he have a good PR?
Forget the PR. Part? The part that's important was there were thrones being. It was like Davey was running around 1,000 slingshots. Well, he hasn't made any money. It's so great, but they haven't made any money. Now, what do you say? What do you say now as Redfin seems to be turning the corner, going into a profitable status? You ain't heard much.
In the next quarter, they will be turning a profit.
You haven't heard much. Not a lot of stones being thrown.
Not a whole lot of people talking about Redfin
now,
there.
Now, here's what's interesting. He comes, obviously, from a VC world. VC people know it takes a certain amount of time for a company to become profitable. I mean, God knows, during the dot-com craze, we were involved with a company that had quote, a $300,000 a month burn rate. And it became its own term where the dot-com companies were getting money thrown at them left and right, and they were just burning through it just to stay above board because they didn't have anything to sell.
Right.
And so, you know, the company we were involved in, it was a music company, and they were going through $300,000 a month.
A month.
Out the door.
And Barry, there were only like 15 people in the office. Yeah.
And they were spitting out stock certificates like they were paper clips. I mean, they couldn't stop the investors coming by who wanted to give money. Now, understand that whether you're building a... What did the guy from Facebook get, like a gazillion dollars or something?
Yeah, if there is a gazillion, he got it.
Glenn Kelman took Redfin profitable in a very short period of time with not all that much money.
Nah.
I mean, it sounds like it's a ton of money to you and I, Barry. I mean, well, 10, 20 million, that's a heck of... 10 and 20 million is a drop in a bucket.
Yeah.
I was watching the story.
You get a couple of investors do that.
I was watching a story. We were talking to Adler from Adler Capital yesterday and about the distressed markets here and what's going on. And they're dropping $15 billion.
That's some jack.
$15 billion. There are still people, believe it or not, who don't have to worry about gas. And they've got a lot of ducats. And they threw a paltry 10 to 20 million at Redfin, from what we understand.
And he's already made the company profitable.
In that short period of time. Yeah. Real estate agents, be worried.
Oh, yeah.
And here's why, because there are guys in Wall Street now going, hey, Barry, do you see what this guy Glenn did?
Well, I mean, yeah. And here's an industry ripe for the picket.
Hey, Barry, did you see what this guy Glenn did in limited markets? We're not even talking about a national rollout. You see what this guy did in a non-major media market?
Oh, I know.
He didn't do it in New York. He didn't do it in Miami or Boston. He did it in the Great Northwest. I don't even know what number media market that is, but I guarantee you the VC companies know.
Oh, yeah.
And they know what market share means. And they know how much money you need to throw at something to make it take that market share. And so right now, I would venture to say there are some people up in these big towers in New York, L.A., looking at this thing going, hey, this guy took this far with $20 million or so. Imagine what would happen if somebody threw 50, 100, I don't know, a billion at it. Do you think they'd be ripe to take over certain markets? Well, who knows if that's going to happen. I don't know if there's a Dr. Evil and waiting around trying to take over the world of real estate. But what I want to talk to Glenn about is, hey, Glenn, now that your business model is profitable, can an individual real estate agent, can an individual broker take your business model and modify it and customize it and run with it a la Burger King to McDonald's in their neck of the woods? Can
Redfin selling franchises?
Well, I don't know if they're selling franchises, and I don't know if that's where he's going, but without calling it Redfin,
right?
You know, maybe it's called FinRed.
Bluefin.
Bluefin, and you do exactly what he has done. And you put together that kind of software and that kind of service. And yeah, I understand maybe not down here in South Florida because he's working with a Gen Y crowd, a more tech-savvy crowd. That's why he told us he picked that area, because those people up there are more in tune with the online scene.
But I think any major market would be.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, so you do your demographics and say,
yeah, How much of that population do you need to find a working group and be profitable?
Well, here's what you do. Mike LaFave, I know you're listening, bud. I know you're listening. You're up in B-Town. You know there's a whole lot of Gen Yers in B-Town, like 250,000 of them, okay? You look at right now, where's Redfin? Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Seattle, up there, Portland, whatever.
And they've got a few other cities up there.
Go ahead and look at the demographics of the Seattle area. Look at what the makeup is. How many people in the Gen Y? How many people Gen X? How many people baby boomers? Look at the income. Look at the influx of business. Look at the tax rate. And if you can find a mirrored location anywhere in the country that's similar to those demographics, you might be able to replicate that. Maybe not on a scale and grandness and largeness of Redfin, but maybe, like you said, Barry, the Bluefin could operate.
Well, Barry, like you said, now you've got a proven alternative business model.
Absolutely.
Okay? A proven alternative business model. It's already got national coverage. A lot of people have heard of it now.
Right.
Okay? So, I mean, it would be a stroke of genius, I think, to sell the franchise. But, of course, it's not. But you've got a proven business model. Now you know. You don't have to, like you said, maybe it's a brokerage with three people.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be big.
All right. And all you do is do your marketing in that area, to market to that exact demographic, just like he did. He's already worked out the kinks for you.
You can even get the Common Craft video with the little stick figure
guy.
Why
are you going to steal the guy's video?
I said, sort of.
Why are you going to take his video?
Because the tech guys want to learn what you're talking about. You know
exactly.
What I mean? And the thing with it, we know there are, a handful of states that still don't allow rebates.
A handful.
There's a handful. So you guys know states move. But if you're in a state that understands it and gets it, and in a part of the state, we're not even talking Dr. Evil stuff where you need to take over Massachusetts.
Right.
I'm just going to take Boston.
No, I just want a certain demographic of Boston. Yeah.
And I say to myself, hey, listen, I understand what Glenn did. Glenn went up there and he created this software so that you could drill down. Well, maybe I don't have $10 million. I can't create that kind of software. But you know what? I know One Park Place and Diverse Solutions and some of these companies have drill downs where I can put that on my website and let people search.
Sure.
It's not Redfin-esque, but it's close enough.
Yeah, it doesn't have all the features, all the bells and whistles, but...
All right, so this guy's giving away 2/3 of his commission. Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for that because I'm a small guy and I need to eat, so maybe I'll give a third of commission. Still Redfin-esque.
You're
advertising that people are going to get a rebate.
Sure, and you're differentiating yourself within the market.
And you're going to get a really slick blogger website that people can go to and learn information on the neighborhoods and everything else and just duplicate it. What do they say about
like a Mary McKnight custom job?
Oh, just do it, man.
Let her put it together and just kill it.
Imitation's the strongest form of flattery. Wait till you hear the flattery I give Glenn Kelman on Thursday. Hey, Glenn, can I do this? Would it work in this neighborhood? Can I try this? What happens when you send people out to tour the homes? Are they like that? I want to know. And if you're tuning in on Thursday, that's the kind of questions we're going to ask. Can Redfin a model like Redfin, I don't have $20 million, but instead of being like the big boy, can I hang out in my little neck of the woods doing a Redfin type thing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's what I want to know. And I think there's a lot of people out there who, you know, put the old Dr. Evil thumb.
Don't do it, because I'll play it.
I know I'm big, and but I'll be a mini me for Glenn Kelman tomorrow.
Dude, Barry,
don't you say it. Barry. I'll kick you. Don't come. I know where you're going.
I don't know if you look in the mirror lately.
Don't say it.
You can't.
Don't say it. My voice is starting to change already. I know where you're going.
I can't believe you just said, I'm going to be a mini me.
You're going with the other guy, ain't you? You're going with the other guy, ain't you?
Huh?
Sexy man.
No. I wasn't going to do it. Right. I was trying to picture you trying to be a mini anything.
I'll get on my knees in a little tuxedo and follow Glenn around. That's it. I'm mini Glenn. All kidding aside, tell me why it won't work. And if you're not doing it, I don't really want your opinion.
Nah.
I want to talk to Glenn Kelman and say, Glenn, what are the pitfalls? Well, other agents are going to hate you. They already do. All right.
Next?
I've already covered that ground. I guess I'm ahead of you in that regard. Yeah, really. I did that before we got the $10
million. Right.
So we've got that covered, Barry. Yeah. Right? They already hate it.
Yeah, you're always ahead of the game.
We're ahead of the game. What's next? Well, you have to set up a website and invest a whole bottle of money in your infrastructure. Well, we ain't got that, so we got 90X. We'll take that.
Right.
All right. What's next? Well, you got to get a bunch of Gen Y and Gen X people that want to buy homes online. We'll research that. Let's look at them and we'll find them. How did you find them? What did you send out to market to them? How did you get them to come to your
site?
We're
going to be beating the secrets out of Glenn Kelman Thursday.
How did you get USA Today to call you?
Yeah.
How did you get Diane Sawyer to hang out with you?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. And so his PR guy may be Lindsay, you may want to get that guy on the phone.
That's who I want to
know. You might want to call Glenn and say, Glenn, hey, we're waiting for you on Thursday, but more importantly, we need to talk to the guy who's marketing for you.
Gotcha.
Because we know Glenn's not marketing.
No, he's a sales guy.
He's hired somebody.
He's a CEO, yeah.
He has a business.
Yeah.
So he hired somebody, correct?
That's him.
You think he's sending out a lot of postcards?
I doubt it.
How many doors has Glenn knocked on?
I probably none.
You don't think Glenn's out there knocking on doors 8 hours a day?
I don't think so.
Come on, Barry.
Really don't. I don't think Glenn's that kind of guy.
You don't think so?
No. Uh-huh.
Are you telling
me? I know
he
rides his bike to work and everything, but no.
You're telling me he's defying conventional wisdom. He's not knocking on doors.
Yeah.
Does he do business with vendors?
Oh, yeah. He's got a couple, yeah.
Is he a real estate professional? I'm just trying to cover the bases. We seem to be all that everyone else says we're not. We like dealing with vendors. We're not licensed professionals. And agents hate us. And so I think we're qualified, absent the $20 million, to be like Glenn Kelman.
Yeah, but I think Glenn really took a turn. I don't think agents hate him anymore.
Yeah, he's taking a turn to try and endear himself to them.
A softer, gentler Glenn Kelman.
But ask the guys in Seattle how they feel about that.
Yeah, well, anybody's going to come in and take market share, they're not going to be too happy.
Like that guy in a Hertz commercial. Who do you think you are? Exactly.
He watched way too many commercials.
Dude, I'm so excited about it. To me, when I read the USA Today article, and I said, Lindsay, we got to get him on a show. I need to know. Because I would think all the younger agents out there are thinking, I know guys my age. I know people who look online. Yeah, it would work in my sphere of influence.
Oh, there you go. I like how you worked that in there.
You like how I put that with Jennifer?
I like that.
Forget the referrals. Hey, go to my website and check out.
Yeah.
Check me out. That's what you need to be doing. And, of course, we'll hear from people, it just won't work. I'm not talking to you.
Well, it won't work for you because you're not willing to do anything.
Yeah, you're not willing to do it. And you can't believe you're going to... I don't need to give away a third of my commission. I'm worth what I do because of what I know. Okay, what's a third of nothing?
Oh.
Yeah, it's working out for
you. Yeah. All right, Barry. Well, we got that coming up Thursday.
I can't wait.
Everybody look forward to that. Lindsay's got a great week planned, so everybody stay tuned. We're going to get out of here right now, but remember here at Real Estate Radio USA, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the B&B Crew on the Short Sale Radio Network, America's source for foreclosure information. To see the B&B Crew live at the Ultimate Pre-Foreclosure and Short Sale Seminar Workshop, or to receive show updates or alerts, make sure to log on to www.shortsalesradio.com. This has been a National Real Estate Seminars production.